Hi, I'm Jorge Luis, and this week in our podcast, we are going to hear the perspective of two Suwannee participants from this spring break team. Let's start now.
Hopecast. Learning about the life and mission of education equals hope.
Welcome to the Education Equals Hope Hopecast. My name is Jorge Luis Rodriguez, and I am the coordinator of teams and training for Equals H in Ecuador. Equals H exists to provide for the education of those in desperate and difficult situations. And the hope for this podcast is to keep all of our dear listeners, supporters, friends all over the world informed as to what is happening with our ministry here in Ecuador. We could never do this without you, so we're very, very thankful, and we thank you for being with us once again. In this episode, we actually, in our last episode, we were able to talk to Fernando Rodriguez, a Suwannee student from this spring team that we were able to host. And now I have two other participants from that same team, and we're very, very excited to be with you guys. In our podcast, we usually try to hear the perspective of different people that belong to the project and the program of Equals H in different areas. So we have sometimes, you know, clergy that has come down, or we have team leaders, or we have people from the local sites. But we're very excited that we have two participants from this Suwannee team. And I am very, very thankful and grateful that I was able to be with you guys all this week. So there's many good things that we want to talk about in this podcast. But before that, before we go there, I would like for you guys to both introduce yourselves, please. So please, first here, let's start.
Okay. Just want to say thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the amazing intro. My name is Moses Vincent III. I am a junior at Suwannee, the University of the South. I'm an economics major with a minor in business and music, and I'm a part of a lot of organizations at my school, but I'm very excited to be here and was grateful and appreciative for the opportunity to be part of the spring team here in Ecuador.
That's really cool. Thanks for coming, and thanks for being here with us in this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And now?
Hi, I'm Camila Hedayenko. I'm a junior as well at Suwannee. Mm-hmm. I'm majoring in math, art, and German studies.
Wow.
And yes, I'm also involved in many organizations at Suwannee. And I'm originally from Ukraine. And it's been an amazing week in Ecuador, so I'm very excited to talk about it.
That's really, really cool. Thank you guys again for being with us. We have to say, I just have to give a huge shout out to the Suwannee community. Thank you guys so much. We are very, very thankful. Of course, we have our beautiful and lovely Cameron Vivanco and Caroline Allen, too. Those two Suwannee alumni that have been working with us and have invested almost all her life in this ministry. So we are thankful that you guys belonging to that kind of tradition of Suwannee bringing teams can be now part of all this experience. So huge shout out to Lauren Goodpastor and everybody at Suwannee that has allowed us to be able to live this experience and has brought you guys down here. But before we go into what we actually lived this week, I want to hear from you guys. What is kind of like the background of you guys being here? What made you guys make the decision? I asked this earlier this week and someone told me, because Fernando told me too.
Oh, no.
And maybe that is right, but I want to hear a little bit further than that. What made you both, first we'll go with Moses and then with Camila, what made you both decide to come down in this kind of experience down here?
So every time Suwannee, you know, kind of advocates for outreach trips, I've always thought it was a great opportunity to take on an outreach mission. Last year, I was on a trip to New Orleans and had a great time. And this time, I wanted to break out of my shell a little bit and go to a different country, which sounds exciting. And when I heard there was a chance to go to Ecuador, I wanted to take it. So I grew up in a very Baptist Christian church with a very strong community. So I've always had a passion for service, giving back, and I love, you know, adding and being a joy in a community. So when I came down here and I heard there was a chance for me to do that, I was like, okay, you know, this is the opportunity. This is what I talk about And I wanted to have a chance to serve and have a chance to give back and have a chance to be something bigger and other than myself. So that's really the main reason why I wanted to go on an outreach mission. And that happens to be that I was in Ecuador, which is even better.
That's really cool. What about you, Camila?
So this is actually my first official outreach trip with Suwannee.
Wow. Great.
Yeah, and I'm very happy to have gone abroad and to Ecuador for this. But yeah, as an international student, I'm already like a big travel person. I've been to a few countries by now. I've done outreach trips to other places. Mm-hmm. So like when the war in Ukraine started, we actually came, I was already in the US, so we came down to Poland to volunteer there at the border and help people. So I've already had some experience with outreach, but yeah, I have so many friends that have had this experience in not just in Ecuador, but in other places going with Suwannee. And I try to take everything that I can out of this experience in university in the US. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, what better way to spend a spring break than to go and do something great for other people
in Ecuador.
And to me, it is amazing, and I'm so, so thankful that people like you, because actually you both are saying this, but I have heard this from all of the participants this year, that you guys have said, you know, like, what other thing can I do that is more important than actually coming in this kind of, you know, experience? And for me, that is amazing, because there's many people. And I think someone in Dios es Amor, the church that we have been working with, someone there said, you know, like, thank you so much for coming and deciding to come help us instead of doing other things that other youth usually do in their spring breaks. Mm-hmm. So this is really, really amazing. And I'm so, so thankful. Actually, everything that we've done during this week have shown us a little bit of your heart and the motivations and convictions that you're bringing with you. But before we get to those, please give me a little glimpse of you guys' background. Again, as I said before, sometimes we have people from different backgrounds and different perspectives, but this episode is very special because I want to hear how two people coming from two different places that have come to one same place and then together again to another place like Ecuador, like first one and now here.
Yeah.
What are you guys... Because we all have our own filters, right? And I was just reading earlier this week of how important it is for us to be aware of how we have gained our filters in order to understand the result of what we are seeing that is later come to, you know, like an activity or action or even an opinion. So please give us a little bit of your background.
Yeah. So to give a context, a little more context about me, I am an African-American student that lives in Prince George's County, mm-hmm. Maryland. I've lived there my entire life. And in terms of morality, my parents wanted to make sure that I grew up being more selfless while also being caring and mm-hmm. kind for others. My parents are very heavy in the church, so I was, of course, heavy in the church as well. And I've been able to have the opportunity to kind of see different people act in different situations while trying to keep your composure. Some people don't understand that when you give yourself to others to help them, a lot of people aren't grateful for that. So I try to be in a situation where I'm caring for others, I look out for others, and kind of be, you know, a helping hand, because that's sometimes all a person needs is just, hey, are you okay? And so when I had the opportunity to do something like this, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if it was a service trip or something similar, just going to like a food pantry, just spending some time doing something for others, for me, feels good, but I don't do it for me. I do it for others, and I want to try to be impactful and try to help others, because when you know you genuinely help somebody because you want it to, it feels good. It hopefully, you know, gives a hope and puts a smile on the people's face that you were able to help. And I mean, I like making people smile. So I think that's a little more context about why I do, you know, go on trips and stuff like that, or give my time. And I just, you know, I want to make people smile, make people happy, make people's days better. And when I have the opportunity to do that, I would try to take it.
So, yeah. That's really cool, Moses. I have to say that it just plays out every time that I see you hanging out with people and all that. It's pretty evident that you have a heart for them. So
thank you.
Thank you. And now, Camila, you have quite a background. I don't think that mm-hmm. ever in your wildest dreams you figured out you will come down here to, you know, to do a missions experience down here in Ecuador. So please tell us a little bit of your background.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely did not expect to end up here at any point in my life. But I was born and raised in Ukraine. I spent my first probably 16 and a half years there, never left the country. And then I had an opportunity to go and study as an exchange student in Idaho, United States. That was my first exposure to America in general. Mm-hmm. So I did that. It was my first time living with a religious family as well. I lived with a Mormon family.
Oh, wow.
And I had seven host sisters and amazing people. Learned a lot from them. Learned a very different, way of living and doing things and thinking about religion and life and the balance between everything in your life. And I came back home, and then I got to the university, to Suwannee. Also didn't expect that. I had been learning Polish and German, thinking I would go to Europe to study. that never happened. I got here. But I come from for Ukrainian standards, I come from a big city, and from a big family as well. I have two sisters. I'm actually a triplet.
Oh, wow.
And I have a younger brother. So even though I haven't grown up religious, I've grown up with a very big sense of family and caring for those close to you. Mm-hmm. I've had the sense of, small community, but not a huge one. And coming to Suwannee, I experienced this other side of it, because Suwannee is, a town of maybe 2,000 students and 2,000 professors plus community members. And just being there taught me how much it matters to, care about people around you and how much joy it can bring you and bring others. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then the war started in Ukraine. I was in the U.S. at the time. And from that, I kind of realized that it is impossible for people to, care about problems mm-hmm. that they don't see or experience, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which is why it's important for me to always go and see places and experience them firsthand, talk to people, build relationships before judging or creating opinions about them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's really beautiful. And just out of curiosity, Camila, how many languages do you speak?
I say six, probably five and a half.
Okay, can you please tell me which ones are those?
Yeah, I speak Russian and uh-huh. Ukrainian as my native languages, then uh-huh. English, German, Polish, and some Spanish.
That's incredible.
Super impressive.
And I'm asking this because this will bring us right into our main topic, right? Which is the intercultural kind of exchange mm-hmm. and the things that have impressed us during this week. I have known also that the thing that is special about languages is that it's not just about the communicating skills and not just, the grammar of the language. It is, for learning a new language, you have to also understand the way that that language is used. And in order to do that, you have to learn how the people that use that language actually think. Mm-hmm. So through those languages, right, that you know, Camila, I'm pretty sure that you have experienced that each language has not just its own structure, but also a different kind of mindset and worldview. Mm-hmm. And that is very interesting, that coming down here to see how things are done here and how we are doing the mission and sharing life with other people. What has been your guys' perspective on that? Coming down here, coming with Equal Stage and understanding our project that hopefully you do understand what we do right now. How was that experience? We have been working with the Church of Dios es Amor, beautiful, incredible community and with a church background that can be very different to some of the participants like you. But how have you guys perceived that? What was something that was impactful for you when you came down here and first went to that church? What was the first thing that you saw?
I think the first thing that truly impacted me was the space. Not because I was this. It was more like, this is the space they utilize, and I loved how they utilized it, right? It wasn't just, we need this, or I think one thing that really stands out to me is how the buildings are utilized here in Ecuador. Back in the United States, I feel as if everybody feels as if they need to have like a certain structure or a certain look of what a building looks like. And I love that in here, you can use any space and turn it to whatever you want. And this is what it is. And I love that, right? Instead of trying to structure something how everything is I'm going to make this my place. And one thing that stood out to me was they didn't call it a church. They called it a house, called it a home, right? So even though they, you know, preach the word of God or they spread the love of God, they also treat it as a home, you know? Mm-hmm. They cook, they have classes, they clean, they make sure everything is good and order, and the members of the community take care of that place like it's their home. And I think that's really good, you know? I feel like that shows the appreciation of what that place has done for you. For me, church is also like my home, right? If I'm not at home, I'm probably at church. I want to make sure that the people that I haven't seen in a while are good, make sure everything's going away. Like, I have members coming, like, hey, are you going to come back? We need your help. And I'm like, if I can, I will, you know, try to still be that helping hand and try to be that member that I have always been. And in terms of languages, clearly at the forefront of it, language is a barrier in a way, because I don't speak Spanish. But I love the fact that all of us were trying, you know, either trying to speak it or trying to understand or willing to work together, or we was just on the same page. And I love how that didn't stop us or discourage anybody. If anything, it probably motivated us to figure out, all right, what are we trying to say and how can we get it done? And that sense of let's work together, that sense of community, and that sense of this is our place just makes the experience and allows your perspective of what's going on just feel welcome, you know, feel like you say, feel a sense of belonging, have a sense of this is a place where I can flourish and thrive, which is honestly really beautiful.
That's really cool. Now that you mentioned it, you were talking about many different things that you saw in the SSMR, and I can stop at reminding about how even during the pandemic, there were families that came down from Venezuela and they were stuck here as, political refugees, and they were homeless. Like, they had nowhere to go. And the church actually adapted some of the downstairs rooms, classrooms, for it to be a home for them. So it is absolutely real how these guys use that space. You know, sometimes what we do and what you guys can perceive in the States is if we don't have the right space for that, we're not even thinking about doing that, right? Whether here is just whatever we need to, this is the house of God, and this is, you know, the home for everybody. So we'll just keep on serving however we can. So that's really, really, really cool. And it just reminds me lots of, like, really good memories that I've seen in that church. What about you, Camila? What was something that impacted you?
One thing that I cannot stop thinking about is also the privilege of being, not a privilege, but, like, the notion of being in the mountains and being in this beautiful, beautiful area where Quito is located. I come from a coastal town. We're completely flat. At Suwannee, we're not flat, but we're, like, on a plateau. Yeah. So here, from any corner, you can see either the mountains or you can go up the mountain and see the city and see those just beautiful views.
Yeah.
And Dios es Amor is located on the very high ground, so you can really, like, overlook the whole terrain that's opening up. And I think that's just impacted me reminds you of belonging to even a greater community of the whole Quito, and also just provides a very different spiritual effect on you as well. On a very different note, in terms of languages, I do speak some Spanish, but not perfect. A lot of us did not speak Spanish.
Your Spanish is much better than mine.
Better, but not great. But regardless of that, we were able to connect so much with the people over there with the help of some translators. But then even without them, people were connecting based on their genuine personalities, the ways that we do things, the ways that we laugh, and the ways that we just want to get things done, and we have similar goals. And just like having those non-verbal communication ways that worked was just amazing to see.
That's really cool.
How everyone just worked together and laughed together, danced together, and struggled in the sun together.
I know that I was sharing this earlier. Probably I have shared this before in our podcast. But that's what missions are about. You know, the power of putting everybody in the same pot, all these different elements, people from different backgrounds, and just shaking it and opening the pot and see what wonderful meal comes out of that. That ability of just mingling with each other very fast and being able to just doing life with people, which is what we try to do. And we say that in our podcast all the time. We believe in relationship more than anything. And through this little experience, just being exposed to a different culture, and just by knowing that these guys have been praying for you, waiting for you, and are ready to work with you, not just receive from you. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. But before we finish, I would like to hear in a very quick sentence, what are you taking with you from this experience, Moses?
Honestly, I think I will be taking a new sense of love, a new sense of appreciation, and a new outlook on my community. Mm-hmm. I really love the community here, especially in Ecuador, and everybody who's been very hospitable, very kind, very welcoming to us, because they didn't have to, right? They could live their own life and do whatever they want, but they decided to open up their hearts and open their hearts to us, which I don't know. That's very nice. You know, a lot of people don't do that, and this is a way of showing God's love, and it's just love in general, which I would like to take back, not just to Suwannee, but also back at home where I'm from. And I want to, you know, spread that, show that, and exemplify that, show that there are people who, not just in Ecuador, but in the States, who actually do care. And, you know, be a shining light, hopefully, you know?
That's really cool. What about you, Camila?
I think one thing that came as a big surprise to me, but also something that I will never let go, is how much we bonded with each other in our own group through this process, even though we were welcomed in a different community. So having these old but also new, very deep connections with my friends and people from our group is going to bring a lot of good things to Suwannee as well. And I don't know. I'll be trying to get more people to go and experience things themselves other than having the things be retold through media or through somebody else's story, because I think nothing comes even close to just coming and seeing things themselves, ourselves, and just talking to people and seeing how others live and what's important to them. And it puts your own life, your own problems, struggles, and responsibilities in a very broader perspective. And you see what's actually important and what things bring joy to life.
Well, thank you, Camila and Moses, for your heart and the attitude, the incredible energy that you have brought for the entire experience, because it has actually made a difference. And if you would like to be part of the Equals H team and make the difference, go to educationequalshope.org and find the Donate Now button. Thanks for making the education of those in desperate and difficult situations possible. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Thanks for listening. And thanks for being with us, Moses and Camila. See you guys next week. Bye.
See ya. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Hopecast. If you want to join the mission or know more about it, please visit our webpage, www.educationequalshope.org, or check our YouTube channel and Instagram with the same name.